are now tuned in to the British Millennials.
Have you ever been in love?
I have. I love being in love. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a certified lover boy, but not a hoe. All the time.
Okay, so he's a certified lover boy. I'm most definitely a certified lover girl. Okay. So let's start this off by telling me your first experience with romantic love. Tell us about it, Rob. What was it like?
My first experience with romantic love was in high school. Yeah, I would say I was in high school. It was cool. I fell in love with my best friend. We were actually best friends first, and then we fell in love, and we were dating all through high school and college.
So you had the ideal setup. You have the setup that all the movies want to make work.
It was very movie-like. It was, but it did not end the way movies end, because I am not with her. So things didn't work out. We just grew apart, but the whole journey up until like the college style was, it was a vibe. It was definitely a vibe.
Come on. Super. First,
yeah.
Up.
Especially in teenagers, you got the notes that you're passing around. You know how it is to pass them notes between classes. And then we had the, what was it? The pencil case where you kept all the notes in there.
Not the pencil case. I don't know about the pencil
case. Kissing between classes. What you mean? Where did you store your notes when somebody gave you a note?
Not in a pencil case, but continue. Well,
in a pencil case. And so
that's that New York love. That.
We did have matching Tims.
That's that city love.
We had matching Tims. I told you about the first kiss experience. Sex was amazing. We just really fucked with each other, like for real, for real. So
that's super cute.
That was the first time.
That sounds super cute, well adjusted, very much so. It's giving.
It was very healthy.
Yeah,
you know me. It gave check in like.
But you know what though?
How are you feeling?
I think that's a testament, because I just, as in childhood, where your first friends are your cousins, your family members, that's your first socialization. I definitely feel like your first real relationship kind of either sets you up to succeed or fail in your subsequent relationships, because it sounds to me like you had something very healthy, and I love that for you. I absolutely love that for you. I think that my experience was a tad bit different. And of course, I mean,
it had a lot of healthy elements. I will say that.
I would
give it a health score of about 80%. But you were definitely right, because I went into the relationship with some unhealthy mindsets and patterns of thinking that did follow me in future relationships.
I
don't do that shit no more. Fuck out of here.
Well, it's a lesson. It's a learning lesson, but I resonate with that. And I think that my story, when I run it back in my mind, because of course I knew I was going to be asking you this question, so it sent my wheels turning on what my experience was and what it looks like now at 34, because I think that I romanticized it for a long time. And it started in the eighth grade. So it started in the eighth grade and it kind of melted into high school. And it was an interesting situation. This was a guy who went to my middle school. I really wasn't into him in middle school. Somehow, some way, we started to kind of talk over the summer. And we would write each other letters. And I thought that this was so...
summer love.
Look, I thought that summer this was love. So romantic. We would summer write love. Each other snail mail. And I would be waiting by the mailbox. Like, look at your
the
face.
The letters?
Yes. This the is letters. Giving... It's giving...
Hold on. We gotta let those...
17th listen.
So
century.
For you listeners that don't know what snail mail is, back in the day, we had loose leaf paper, which was...
It was definitely school line. It was definitely the school paper. School. Obviously.
Either school ruled or college ruled.
It was definitely college. It was college ruled.
Oh, he was writing.
It was college ruled. And it was real neat, like. And we went right back and forth all summer. And that's how we told each other we loved each other. Like, it was through letters. And it was the most romantic thing. But of course, it's awkward because we really weren't seeing each other. And I also found out later, this is like the start of my trust issues. I found out later that he actually was talking to another girl that summer, but he had her on the phone and he had me via letter. And he had told me that, listen, I'm not going to even say his name. I would use an alias right now.
What's his name?
Because I feel like I feel like he would be listening, but actually in reality, he told me that he couldn't talk on the phone. He was like away for the summer at an aunt's house or something. And he told me, oh yeah, my aunt doesn't want her running up her phone bill and things like that. And so we can write letters to each other. Meanwhile, he was talking on the phone to the other girl every day. Now he told me this later, but it definitely started the beginning of my trust issues. In our relationship, we tried to date in the eighth grade, same thing. We went to different schools and he was dating a totally different girl at his school. So again, this is my first experience with love, and it kept happening over and over again. But we kind of got it together. We got it together my sophomore year. And we had, you know, that first love experience where we had our first kiss, you know, we had our first time with each other, and it was a really beautiful moment. It was a really beautiful moment. He was a Virgo. I was crazy about him. But I think that I took the note from him setting the tone in our relationship and everything like that. And I eventually started dating somebody from my school and I broke up with him. And, you know, that was kind of the end of that. That was my first love. There were ups, there were downs. There were so many different things that happened between us, but I would never, ever give up that experience for anything, just because it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot, but it also taught me that I can't really trust men. That was my first experience with thinking, you know, maybe I shouldn't actually take them that seriously, because while I'm over here giving...
Shannon, look at the camera. That part.
Like, while I'm over here giving hopeless romantic, they're over here entertaining several different people. And that was my first experience with thinking like, damn, I can't take these niggas seriously. So it was a catch 22. It was a catch 22.
In the words of the glitch homie, Lady D, all these men, they lie. Like, maybe. If lying was a sport, she said, like, if lying was a sport, they're getting gold medals.
No, seriously. But at the time, it was something that didn't register to me as something that wasn't okay, because it had been the norm. That was where we started. So when other people would lie to me throughout the matriculation of my life, especially relationship wise, it didn't even register to me that like that was an issue. It was like, men lie. So that's just something you got to get over and deal with. So it was an unhealthy start to begin with. And I wanted to get into this just because I feel like so many things from our childhood really affect who we are now. And this is exactly why we have this Spin the Block segment. So we can spin the block and kind of look at things and be like, whoa, actually that wasn't healthy. Let me analyze this. Let me learn from this. And let me turn this around, because we get stuck in these habits of things that we do, of things that we've experienced. And sometimes it's hard to fall out of these cycles of toxicity because we don't know where it comes from. So we got to go back and heal that wound. So
yeah,
that was me trying to heal our first love wounds. And that was Spin the Block. Welcome to the love episode of The Bridge Millennials, everybody. I'm Shannon Ashley.
Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day.
And happy Valentine's week, everyone. We want to get into the love of it all, because we love everyone. So we want to get into love, relationships, sex, the psyche of it, Valentine's Day. Are you ready? Let's get it. Rob, what do you have for us?
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Right. So for V-Day, I have a couple of facts about the psychology of sex. And this is all published in the private therapy clinic in the UK. They did some studies and found some fun facts about sex.
Give it to us.
Number one, post-sex sadness is a real thing. Have you ever had post-sex sadness?
Absolutely. Ooh, and I hate it. I was just talking about post-sex sadness as it pertains to, really as it pertains to ending relationships, but still.
Well, this is an article directly from the privatetherapyclinic.co.uk. So I'm going to just read the excerpts from here, just a little bit of highlights. So if you've ever cried after sex and you thought you were strange, then don't, because it can actually be a very common occurrence. Post-coital dysphoria, PCD. Coital. I'm sorry. That's a do moment. Coital. Coitus, really? coitus is a clinical term from sex, y'all. But post-coital dysphoria is characterized by intense feelings of sadness, anger, or even distress after an orgasm.
That feels right. Because I also feel like you're on such a high. It's kind of like drugs. The orgasm is such a high that there's a crash after. Am I right? Is it something like that?
Definitely. It's definitely hormonal. It can also be believed to be connected to not only a surge of hormones, but it can also be connected to like bringing up emotions of abandonment, attachment, and things like that.
That feels right. And I do feel like there's a detached feeling. And that's why I think a lot of people who are in relationships make it a point to cuddle afterward, because it can feel very much so like so much togetherness, so much closeness, and then nothing. It's a very dramatic difference.
That's exactly that.
Wow.
That's exactly why.
Mm-hmm. Okay, give us more.
Okay, a strong sense of smell can make your orgasm stronger. A study published in the Archive of Sexual Behavior found that people with more perceptive sense of smells had better sexual experiences. Women who had a better sense of smell reported having more enjoyable orgasms than those who weren't as sharp.
How do you determine that? How do you know if you have a great sense of smell? Do you just know? What is it?
Well, they did. The studies must have did like some clinical trials to formally test their olfactory senses.
I'm trying to see something.
Then, what you trying to see?
I'm trying to see something. I'm trying to see if, because I mean, my orgasms
like how they actually test.
Well, they be like that. So now I'm questioning: is my sense of smell also really good? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Just wondering.
Well, I would imagine that a lot of that has to do with picking up sex pheromones and things like that that gets released through your skin. And that's another thing with the cuddling. After sex, once you've released this orgasm, you release all of these pheromones that are actually in your skin. And so skin-to-skin contact is kind of like afterplay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, get into it. The nose knows.
So the next one. Sex increases your immunity to pain. Aside from obvious pleasure, sex can be a pain relief. During the states of arousal and orgasm, the hypothalamus in the brain releases a feel-good hormone called oxytocin. Researchers at Rutgers University in New Jersey found that this surge of oxytocin can help reduce pain in women, especially during menstruation.
I knew you was going to go. I was literally about to say, y'all, when I'm having really bad cramps, get into it. An orgasm is what the doctor ordered.
Most women definitely. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of women become extra aroused during the menstruation period, because your body is craving a release from the pain through the orgasm.
One time for hormones. It's a catch-22, though.
Shout out to hormones.
Yeah.
All right. This one, I feel like you and I both already knew this, but having sex can help trigger your creativity. The act of sex itself is already a creative act, giving new life to birth or birth to new life. But even if you're not conceiving, creating that bond experience with your partner can also bring on that psychological effect to help you pursue your creative passions, whether it's art, music, design, or creative thinking. Again, it's connected to oxytocin, and that feel-good hormone boosts your brain's ability to problem solve.
And if you want to get real woo-woo, your sacral center or your sacral center, that womb is, a lot of people believe, the center of your creation. It brings forth life as a woman. It brings forth life out of the womb. It brings forth creativity. So a lot of people say that connecting with your womb, especially if you're an artist, is a great way to combat blockages, to combat writer's block, to combat any creative blockage that you might have. So that's actually cool to hear the science behind that.
Okay. Number 5, orgasm, use it or lose it. This one might be a little bit scary if you've been sexually active for a period of time, but it's rare that you could lose your sensation of having an orgasm if the sex is too long, especially if it's in women. There's a syndrome or experience known as coital atrophy, which occurs when the clitoris doesn't have enough blood flow, which turns the body's reaction away from the sex. So it makes it a little bit difficult for the orgasm to take place. There's a similar possibility with penile atrophy, but that's actually even more rare. Yeah, so if you're having long periods of sex, the blood flow to the clitoris could actually come out of the clitoris into the part of the body that is taking the most impact over a longer period of time.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, my ex used to really try to, no pun intended, try to beat the orgasm out of me. And I just wanted him to know that that's not how it works. And the longer we will be at it, the less chance there would be of us actually making it there. So I'm glad that there's science to back that up. That's actually pretty interesting.
Yep. And that's why a lot of women achieve orgasm quicker with themselves and through masturbation than with a partner. It's also why most women orgasm through clitoral stimulation, not vaginal stimulation, or a combination of both.
And I just looked that up. It's actually, it's not rare. I wouldn't venture to say it's rare, but it's more rare to experience a vaginal orgasm. And like you said, it's usually both vaginal and clitoral at the same time if that's happening. I haven't been lucky enough to experience that yet, but never say never. I'm waiting.
Okay. Number 7, the eggs choose the winning sperm. We kind of already know that. But there's a so-called fact that there's a misconception that the eggs are actually like not a part of the traveling of the sperm, but the eggs act, the hormones act, obviously the closer the sperm gets to the egg, the hormone kind of like activates, but the sperms are all racing equally to the egg, but the egg has a hormonal ability to attract the strongest one.
Oh, so all these years they've been telling us it's a race against all time, who's the fastest sperm, but in actuality, you got to be the chosen one.
Yeah, eggs have a sophisticated biological mechanism that actively choose which sperm they will allow.
Interesting.
And that's not necessarily the first one to arrive.
Okay, girl, well, I want to know what I just need to know what she's thinking. What are the ovaries think? What are you thinking, girl? What is your thought process? How do you choose them? Because I'm trying to find out. How do you make
I would imagine it to be like some type of hormonal
compatibility
sonar.
Or something. Yeah.
Like a sonar situation. And
come on, Marco Polo.
To try to like scan. I don't know. Marco Polo did. Like.
Oh my God.
The eggs, Marco Polo, and the sperm is crazy.
That's the first thing I thought about was Marco Polo.
Yo.
Or just kind of like a bird call or any type of mating ritual that actually makes a lot of sense, but on the biological level. Wow. These things are really cool, Rob. I love this.
Yeah, a lot of, especially a lot of men assume that like the first sperm that makes it there is the one that fertilizes the egg.
A man would. A man would think that.
But
a man would think that.
No, definitely, of course, some sperm cells are faster than others, but just because you arrive there first don't mean that you are qualified to do the job.
Get into it. Hold on. Say that again. Say that again. Please say that again.
No, I'm not doing this with you. I'm not doing this.
I'm sorry. I'm so tickled. I'm so tickled.
I was about to do too much. No, I'm not doing this.
I'm tickled. Yes. I'm really tickled, but I love to know that me and my body are on the same wavelength. We're in the same book. Mm-hmm. Okay. We might even be on the same page. Just because you get there first doesn't mean you're qualified. Get into it. Mm-hmm. She's single. Yeah.
And it's also, remember too, that women are just more grounded and logical or reasonable than men because they have a thicker cerebral cortex. So I'm pretty sure that it's your whole nervous system that's like, Bobby.
Listen.
That one?
Listen. No. I don't want to get too personal, but baby, we will scratch the record. We'll stop and scratch the record if that's not what it's giving. You know, there's a video online and the girls are singing in the tune of like a Frozen song. And she's like, I wish there was somebody worth getting pregnant for. And I really feel that because listen, if you're trying to get me pregnant,
what?
I wish.
Oh my God.
She said, what do we want? A boy worth getting pregnant for, or maybe she said a man. But I think that it's so interesting because I know exactly what she means because I would totally not. I'm sorry. We could be having the best sex in the world. Scratch the record if you're trying to do that and you're not qualified. We're not doing that, bro. That's not happening. But there are a lot of men, you know, during sex that will request to give you babies, that will request these ridiculous things. And it's like, record scratch, you do not meet the qualifications, bro.
You are not the father.
Just because you are knocking at the door does not mean I will let you in. Please know. You know, I'll keep you out there
and
on that doorstep.
The sperm detector says you are not the father.
Honey, I'm looking out my little door camera and I'm determining that I don't know you and we're not doing that. So moving forward. Wow, that's cool. Do you have any more, Rob, for us?
Yeah, I have one more. People who have less sex overcompensate at their jobs. Researchers at the University of Göttingen in Germany found that people with an inactive sex life tend to do more at work to compensate for their lack of fulfillment.
Wow. So that whole thing where they're like, you just need to get some, totally accurate. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Very much. And that's what I got for the little that's what I got for the little mental health segment. Yeah, some of that stuff was new to me, but it all does make sense, doesn't it?
That was a good Kiki, and you learn something new every day. Every day. Wow. That was really interesting. Thank you for those facts, Rob. That was information that a lot of that I also didn't know, so we really appreciate that. Glitch homies at home, I hope you learned something, okay? I hope you took out your notebooks and took some notes. And if you aren't getting any, that's not an issue. Please just know that you don't have to try too hard at work. You don't have to do that. We can go a different direction, okay? We can do something different. Just because the people that have to work with you, that's something that we don't want to have to deal with, okay? I'm all for self-pleasure. Give yourself an orgasm, okay? Give yourself the pleasure you deserve.
Make it a part of your morning routine.
Get into it. There's no shame in the game. Oxytocin is what we want. We want you to feel high to the sky. Moving forward, I want to... We want you to feel high in any way possible. You know, it doesn't have to be through drugs. It can definitely be through pleasure. And on that note, we're going to slip and slide into the red light district.
I want to be touched and feel it so much because everybody needs some good love.
So for today's Red Light District, we're going to talk about Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, are we still into it? Are you still into Valentine's Day, Rob?
It's my second favorite holiday.
I knew you would say that. You're such a romantic.
I am. I swear to you, it's my second favorite holiday. I love buying teddy bears and little, back in the day, little mixtapes and chocolate.
You're
and
so 90s. You're so 2000s. You're so...
I love it. I love,
you're so like, 90s R&B right now.
Booking a room with a jacuzzi. Getting the what is it? The petals.
The rose petals.
You know
petals.
How hard it is to find rose petals in February? That is a mission, but I manage to do it every time. But it's not easy, but I find them. They're expensive, but I find them. Rose petals in February. I like doing that. I love giving like sensual massages. I love like I Valentine's Day is my shit. What about you?
Not so much, but I think that's something that I grew into. I feel like as we age, the holidays age differently with each person based on your experiences. And for me, Valentine's Day has kind of turned into something kind of a little corny just because I haven't been a relationship in a while. So I'm just side-eyeing Galentine's Day-ing all of those things until I get, you know, into a relationship. But also my ex-boyfriend's birthday is February 14th. And I think that little detail really tainted the holiday for me just because that was my last relationship. That was the hardest to date, I would say. And now I think about him instead of Valentine's Day. But originally, Valentine's Day...
That's just because you haven't had somebody to kind of like blow your mind.
No,
you
absolutely need somebody not. To not give recently.
You a new association with Valentine's Day.
A renewed association. Well, mm-hmm. In my effort to renew Valentine's Day in my mind, I kind of looked at some history. I'm like, okay, what is this shit anyway? Is this a Hallmark situation? You know how they always say they're trying to get our money. So I looked it up. Valentine's Day is actually for Saint Valentine. Saint Valentine was a priest.
Yes, it is.
Saint Valentine was a priest who ministered to persecuted Christians, and he was martyred on February 14th, and his death was commemorated by the Catholic, the Anglican, and the Lutheran churches. So basically, he brought everybody together. He was all about love, and he didn't care who you were, what your religion was, what your creed was. You could get this ministry. And I love that. And it's kind of shifted into romantic love, Eros, but there's so many different types of love. But I want to get into your best Valentine's Day memory. I want you to lay that on me. Now, I have a feeling, Rob, that yours might be something you've done for somebody else, but I want to know if somebody has done something for you that blew you away. I know it's hard to blow you away because you're romantic, but has anybody ever blown you away or just really touched you on February 14th, Valentine's Day? It's the thought process for me. Because I already know you have blown somebody's mind. I already know that.
You know, I didn't realize until you asked me that question that no one's ever done anything to me or for me on Valentine's Day.
Mm. So basically, your association with the holiday has to do with how great you've been to other people. And I mean, that's love. That's love, too. That's a testament of your capacity for love. And so... in theory, it's almost like you're in love with yourself. Is what you've done.
Well, I like to be of service on Valentine's Day. I feel like when it comes to like intimacy and like just like regular types of stuff, I feel like I'm a pleaser, but I approach it like a dominant pleaser. But something about Valentine's Day is kind of like I don't know why, but it just kind of pulls me out of that everyday, the way I look at you type thing. And it puts it into like this, it's one of the days that I get to kind of be in love in a dreamy fantasy Disney type of way. I don't feel that I can kind of like do that often or every day, because that type of stuff does get cheesy. Like if right. you were getting rose petals on your bed every day when you come home from work,
I would be tired of that
yeah, shit. Yeah, chocolates, but it's just,
I'm trying to sleep.
Valentine's Day allows like the little shit, like little chocolates, little the cheesy stuff becomes like sexy on Valentine's Day. But that's the only day you can do that. Well, some of that stuff. Flowers are all, like, you can always get flowers, but the teddy bears and the little cars and the little cute shit, it just reminds you of what it feels like to fall in love. And when you fell in love and the first time that you had love in your heart for somebody. So it just brings you back to a more innocent space with your relationship. But so I like Valentine's Day for those reasons. But I've never realized no one's ever done anything for me for Valentine's Day.
How do you think you react if someone pulled out all the stops? Because in my experience, men like you who love to do the giving, who love to create that world for other people, sometimes it's hard for them to let other people create a world for them. So I wanted to know, what could that look like? How would you react?
If someone was to pull out all the stops for me on Valentine's Day, I would be cheesy as hell, because I'm not used to people like doing stuff for me on a date. Not that I'm not open to it, I'm not used to it. I think that I just attract people that are more a little bit less assertive. But I would be very shocked. I would probably be at a loss for words. I would be happy. I'm not like an insecure guy where it's like, if you do something for me, I feel less of a man, because that's not really my thing. But I would appreciate it, especially me, because I know how much work and time and planning it went into actually doing whatever you're doing for me. So I'd be very appreciative, and I would be quite tempted to return the favor.
As you should. Okay. Not the eyebrows. Okay. Well, I think that that's beautiful, and I really hope that you get that. I hope that somebody surprises you, sweeps you off your feet, and I hope that you are cheesing so hard from ear to ear that your face gets stuck. So my experience with Valentine's Day is really interesting, but you know, when we were in middle school, high school, it was all about these grand gestures. I don't know if it was a Southern thing. Of course, I'm from Atlanta, so it was definitely cute to be booed up. It was cute when we were growing up. So, and one of the Valentine's Days that I remember the most was he surprised me at my house. And we didn't go to the same school, so we didn't see each other during school. He surprised me at my house. He hid, his family were hiding in the trees in my backyard. So I have like a forest in the backyard. Apparently they were all hiding behind trees. It was super cute. He had arrived with flowers and a bear, and that was just the cutest moment ever. I felt so special. And I can honestly say for Valentine's Day specifically, I have not felt like that since. That was when I was maybe 15 years old. So that was a very, very long time ago. And since then, you know, it's been a toss up for Valentine's Day. But I will say that I've been with a lot of people who show appreciation on days that are not Valentine's Day. So one of my long-term relationships, I got flowers all the time, you know? So I think that Valentine's Day became less important to me because the partner that I was with showed me love on other days and would randomly show up to my job with flowers. And it was a little annoying back then, but I see now that That was a grand gesture. So I think where I'm at with Valentine's Day now is, like you said, I need to be refreshed. I need to be renewed. I needed someone to sweep me off my feet. I need somebody who's crushing on me to do something cute for me. Now, I'm not saying that you knock at the door, you're going to be let in. But I am saying that grand gestures, I'm all for them. And I think that in the dating climate right now, they're not enough. There's just not enough of them. And I think so many of us are single that Valentine's Day is starting to be one of those really corny holidays. And people have created alternative holidays, Galentine's Day, where you spend it with your gals. And that's a different kind of love. And I kind of love that too. So
can I be honest for a moment? Like, like I've had to realize that romantic gestures can be overwhelming to people. Like,
oh,
can make people, I run into problems of, because of, now that I'm comfortable expressing my affection for a person, they kind of shy away from it because they feel like they can't measure up to my expectations. And I say that statistically based on those experiences, and I have to let them know, like, this doesn't come with expectations. I'm just expressing myself to you and my desire for you. It doesn't mean that it's, you have to now become, like, you know what I mean? But there's so much, and I think you touched on this earlier, like, for Spin a Block, like, there's so much of your self-esteem and your past that goes into relationships, and that includes your ability to receive affection and receive gestures. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of people that just cannot handle that. There's people that just cannot. I cannot buy flowers for everybody. I can't buy flowers and cook for everyone. I can't. All of the things that I would want to do for someone, I can't do them all at once. Or I haven't found a person yet that is receptive and able to receive me doing all of the things that I want to do for them at one time. So I have to, like, monitor it and measure it. So I don't know if that's something that, like, guys think about in terms of, because I know there's a lot of guys that, and a lot of girls that's like, don't do too much. You know what I mean? Like, don't do too much, hold back, don't do too much. But for me, I do too much, because if I feel too much, I'm going to do too much. But I'm a good communicator, so I can express to you where my feelings and emotions are and where my thoughts are. And if those things are not lined up, then that is a reflection of where we go from here. But I've just, like I told you before, like, I've just lived so much of my life being completely numb to my emotions that after having done the work, I'm just so excited that I can access them and I want to share them with people that are close to me.
I think that what you brought up is so important, being able to receive that love and receive that affection. From my experience and some of my recent experiences, it's difficult as being someone, I'm a Cancer in my Venus. That means I love extremely passionately. I'm really loyal. And it's hard for people to, like you said, live up to that. They feel so much pressure. So when I'm expressing myself romantically, I oftentimes see people pull away, people shy away. Do you believe, because you seem to be someone who shares that with me, do you believe that, or do you feel like part of it is you not fully being able to be yourself if you can't be as romantic as you'd like? Because I do feel that sensation of holding back when you don't want to do too much and you don't want to overwhelm somebody. But sometimes you do have strong feelings. And I think it is important to, I think balance is important, and not to do too much, because sometimes when you're showering somebody with gifts and all these other things, some other things are flying under the radar. But do you feel like you can't be yourself? Because sometimes I feel like if I really was compatible with this person, we would be on the same level. But then I think everybody's love language is different. So what do you think about that?
For me, it's different from dating men and women. When it's with women, I feel like I can't completely be myself, because women are sensitive to being love bombed, especially Black women. there's a lot of people that will gaslight Black women into seducing them while having not good intentions.
And it happened to me. So yes.
Yeah. So, and for those of you who don't know, I'm a colorful dater. I date persons of color. The darker, the better. But so that would be that. But when it comes to me dating men, the reason why I feel like I can't completely do all of that is because as a man, I think that they look at what I do as a man and measure themselves up to me. So if I do for them, they feel like they should be able to also do the exact same things to me. Or if I like do something for them, they may feel like I'm also expecting that, or I'm giving them a cue to do that for me, which is not the case. If I want something, I'm gonna just tell you what I want.
Agreed. But
you don't often find people who, I think creatives are really good at communicating and feeling, communicating strongly as well as feeling strongly. But for a lot of people, the stronger you feel, the less you can communicate because the less logic you feel. It's just that as a creative, our logic is in the feeling. It's not in the analysis of it, you know? So I think it varies, but it definitely impacts your ability to be yourself. But there's also that internal read the room thermometer that right. is kind of still operating and kind of protecting you from like being too vulnerable or being too transparent or too naked with someone
who too soon.
May not be able. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Or if you don't know someone yet, you know, you don't right. know them like that. It's like, you don't know if this person will be deserving. If you're grown, we in our 30s, we have history. So when it comes to trusting someone, you got to run that assessment. You know what I mean? So I think there's also a part of us that's kind of like that protective instinct of, okay, let's not repeat the same thing that we did before, Shannon. Let's not put ourselves in a situation. You know, it comes with that too. So it is a way of you not completely being yourself, but it's also a means of you protecting yourself and understanding that you have to have boundaries with you.
As people who
take you with you.
Agreed. And as people who are giving like you and I are, it's important to not give everything you got because we won't have any left. And that's kind of how I feel, right? Is it a hallelujah? Is it an amen?
Let the church say yeah.
And that's the lesson that I learned being someone who is, it's a hopeless romantic, not to give too much. And when I feel like I'm not completely being myself, then I do have to remember that it's important that I'm not giving everything to this person, because if in the event it is not a match, you have depleted your energy to date, your energy to connect with people. And for me, that's the most important thing. I don't want to be zapped of my energy mm-hmm. too soon.
Do you feel like that's so serious because for me, how that resonates is I can't just have sex with someone unless I know that we're invested on something. Like, we gotta be bonded. Like, we have to be something. I can't just have sex with you because I don't feel right. Like, I feel like I'm violating myself. But I found that when I am in relationships and we are sexually active, if we're no longer in the relationship, I'm so disgusted with him. I just be wishing I could just take the body back. Like, I be wishing I could. I don't like the idea of me having been intimate with just people that's out in the street, not even thinking about me. Like, I don't like that feeling. So my protective senses be up there, but we're all still human and we still have those desires, and acknowledging that you have that desire helps you set a healthy, realistic expectation of a relationship experience. And it prepares you to think about what it is that you have to receive and think about what you're willing to give. It's just unfortunate that people don't take intimacy like super serious. They just feel like it's something that, you know, it's an entertainment type thing, you know? Because if everyone took intimacy serious, thinking the way that you and I do wouldn't be an issue.
Right. And I found that that's pretty much why I hopped off of all of these dating apps, because I feel like I go through phases. I will go a year, 2 years, 6 months, long periods of time. And it might not be long to everyone, but for me, as a highly sexual person, these are long periods of time without sex, without a companion. And then when I'm ready, I'm like, okay, I'm ready, but I don't want to just hop into bed with anyone like you say. But it's also like, I'm ready to be sexually active in this moment, but how do I still protect myself? So it's important for me to get to know people. And I found that online, a lot of dudes are like, okay, well, if you're looking for something casual, why do we even have to have a conversation? It's like, I'm not about to just intertwine my body with yours when I don't even know what you stand for, what you believe in, who you are. So yeah, I feel you. It's not,
you're an artist, so. And you're a dancer. It's detrimental. So you're a movement artist.
That's detrimental. Yeah, that's detrimental to my creative center. And that's the one reason why I stopped having casual sex, because it started creating blockages for my creative center. It started creating blockages in my womb. And after the last sexual experience that I had to do a cleansing. I had to spiritually cleanse, just because I was still feeling the connection of this other person. I was feeling depression that didn't belong to me. I was feeling certain things, and it definitely brought my creative center to a screeching halt last year. And obviously I'm not blaming this person, but what I am saying is that intimacy is serious. And I think that the older I get, the more I realize that, the more I can't just hop into bed with anybody. So it is what it is.
All right. Well, y'all heard that. If you slide in Shan's DM, you better be willing to put in the work, because she not just fucking anybody. And don't slide in mine either, because I ain't just fucking anybody. We ain't doing that.
Thank you for just your input, Rob. It's always extremely insightful and profound. I'm really, really hoping that some of the glitch homies out there who are hopeless romantics at heart will hear this and be inspired, will hear this and want to share love, but also protect themselves. And we're here to keep love alive. Let's be clear. We're pro-love here at the Bridge.
Pro-love.
We're pro-love here at the Bridge. And for me, that's not just romantic love. That's pro-love connecting through friends. That's pro-love
community.
That's pro-love showing love through art and sharing your art and creativity. And that's another way to be vulnerable, especially as artists. I know a lot of people who are listening are creatives, just because I know a lot of our listeners. And it's important to still make those connections with people, to still operate and practice in love every single day, whether it's romantic love or love for your art, love for your community, love for your family. It's important, just because love is the driving force, is the driving life force in my mind, that keeps us going, that keeps us alive, and it gives us something to live for. So on that note, glitch homies, we're gonna take it out right now. And I'm going to ask Rob to go ahead and tell the people where you can find us online.
You can find The Bridge Millennials at The Bridge Millennials. And that is on Instagram at The Bridge Millennials. We have a website. Guess what it's called? Just it's thebridgemillennials.com.
That's continuity where you're gonna find
all the good stuff. Big continuity. Shannon is going to be on Instagram at I am Shannon Ashley, but Shannon also finally got herself a style blog, and listen, she's just cutting the fuck up. She cutting up on people in the net, cooking in the kitchen.
Listen,
in the kitchen,
get into the fit for today.
What's okay? Fit check.
Fit check.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
It's giving French. But
for Shannon's fashion page, you're going to go to Eclect. Ooh, Electric pop.
You got it.
Almost a tongue twister. Electric pop.
Complicated, like me as a person. But
electric.
Yes. She's complex. Electric. She's pop. Eclectic.
Yeah, and she pop. She pop.
That pop of color. That's that pop of color. All pop right. That booty.
And from,
pop
for that pussy. Me, you can check me out. Oh, wait a minute.
All the pops.
You in your bag.
All the pops.
For me, you guys can check me out at Robert St. Michael. Spell the whole thing out. RobertSaintMichael. That's on Instagram and RobertSaintMichael.com. If you want to keep up with my public health projects, I just did a collab in Paris and Europe. Well, Paris and London. I ain't do nothing in the whole Europe, but that's going to be coming out pretty soon. I believe it's going to be dropping in April around my birthday. So that's going to be pretty exciting. But yeah, you can check out my website. Hit me up if you're looking for one-to-one services, if you're looking to book me for speaking engagements or any type of collabs or anything like that. If you listen to the show, I got you. Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, wait. ShannonAshalia.com is my website, you all. For all of okay, your choreography. ShannonAshalia.com has never been down, honey. She's always been up
why
in the clouds.
Never rep the show?
I have no idea, but ShannonAshalia.com, actually, the website eats, so go ahead and go to it. She's always been there. She's the girl. And you can book Miss Ashalia for choreography, for private lessons, dancing, for... Mm-hmm. Styling, for personal styling, for styling out of your closets, for styling for photo shoots. Just hit me up because I just love it. I just giggle. And you know what? Makeup as well. We're gonna add makeup to the site soon. So get ready for that. You want your face beat for a photo shoot? I got you. Cause I also love doing makeup. Such a joy. And how are we gonna end it? It's your turn, Rob. Give us something interesting.
Because it's Valentine's Day, I'm going to give a word of advice interesting. Mm-hmm. Makeup sex does not make up for the issue.
Woo. You know, say that again, because I personally know some people who are still struggling with this concept.
Makeup sex does not make up for the issue. It don't.
Yeah. We'll see y'all next time.
Later.